It's the How Games Make Money podcast. I'm your host, Jeffrey Grubb from GamesBeat.com. Joining me this week is Khalif Adams from Spawn On Me. We're going to talk about building a community, doing a passion project, and what it means to go from not really making any money to making enough to sort of justify it, and all the things in between that. Khalif Adams is the founder of Spawn On Me. Spawn On Me is a podcast, first and foremost. It's a podcast where Khalif tries to bring on different voices from different corners of the video game industry. Khalif has been doing this for a long time, and it wasn't always profitable. It's scraping by now. It's a passion project. It's something that he thinks is important. But how games make money is sometimes going to be about the stories of people doing what they love, despite all the costs in front of them. Khalif, he's a really great person to talk to. It was a really great conversation. We'll get to that in a second. First, though, I want to go over a few things. Thank you for listening. You can get more from me at GamesBeat.com. If you want to help the show, you can rate us on Apple Podcasts because that can really give us a boost. If you also like it, you could tell people about it. That's another great way. There's a lot of people out there that I think would find these conversations fascinating. And the only way they're going to find out about it is if you tell them. If you want to reach out to me, you can get me on Twitter, at Jeff Grubb. If you want to reach out to the show, it's at HGMM Show on Twitter. That's How Games Make Money Show. You could email the podcast at gamespluspodcast@venturebeat.com. Go ahead and put HGMM in the subject line. All right. Anything else? I don't think there's anything else. So let's do it. Let's get to my conversation with Khalif Adams from Spawn On Me. It's a really good one. I think he's very insightful. And it's a conversation that I think most of you will find fascinating as well. Let's do it. All right, let's get on with it. Right now, joining me is Khalif Adams. Khalif, why don't you go ahead and say hi to the good people out there?
What's good people? How are you all doing out there in podcast land? I hope everybody's doing all right.
I'm glad you could join me. I'm really excited to have you here. Before we get started, why don't you tell everybody, like, you know, what you do, you know, where they can find you, stuff like that.
Yeah. In the daytime, I work over at Intel in their VR and esports spaces, but most people will know me from the podcast that I run called the Spawn On Me podcast. It's the premier podcast spotlighting people of color in the gaming industry. And we've been doing that for about 6 years. Yeah.
And that's what I want to talk to you about, you know, in general, but mostly about like running Spawn On Me. This is like a passion project that you run, but I want to understand, like, is it like a going concern, as the people might say, in terms of like, is it a business for you?
Yeah, I just became an LLC about almost a year and like 6 months ago. So the conversation kind of started in the beginning of late 2018. And I was trying to figure out good ways to both monetize the show and then also good ways to work with Patreon, because crowdfunding was and still is kind of the best way to monetize a podcast at this point, mm-hmm. especially because we're kind of a medium podcast. We're fairly niche in terms of what we talk about. So I'm not expecting us to make Jay-Z money anytime soon. We'll make maybe Talib Kweli money at some point.
Nothing about Jay-Z is medium.
No, nothing is medium. That man's hair is big. so it's one of those things of like, how do we kind of figure out ways to make some money for traveling and for upkeep and for new equipment and all that kind of stuff? And then we became a business because I was like, taxes are going to be an actual thing at some point, and we have to put that on the books so that the man doesn't come and get me. We started that process, you know, again, like a year and some change ago. And it's been a smart move for us, or for me, I should say, kind of getting that foundation there, just to make sure that I don't have to think about it in the years to come when we do wind up blowing up.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So then 6 years is a long time to kind of do it. Like before it was like, before you were thinking about like, let's make this an LLC, what was the day to day like for running Spawn On Me?
I mean, most of the funds that went into Spawn On Me for and still to this day are family money. You know, the Adams family is paying for Spawn On Me in lots of ways. And I have to give my wife massive amounts of love and props and patience and all the stuff for all the things for kind of helping me bankroll this thing that has definitely cost more than what it's made. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's an important part that a lot of folks don't understand is that, you know, a podcast is cheap to start. A podcast is cheap to maintain. Like I remember when we first started the process of doing it, hosting fees weren't exorbitant, but they were enough that you would have to think about them in your budget, right? You'd think about them. And this is before I was making better money at a better job. You know, I was working back in New York at a union doing IT work, and that wasn't paying like massive dough. And my wife at that point was a waitress who was going to social work school. So, you know, like we weren't making any real funds until, you know, very recently. So, you know, that was coming out of, you know, money, me trying to figure out how to make merch and trying to figure out all this other stuff while also spending a fair amount of money going to events to try to network, which was the reason why we've kind of gotten to where we are now, is many, many years of going to conferences and going to events and then building up your Rolodex and kind of getting people in front of you and in front of the show. So like all of that's come out of, until fairly recently, the Addams Family budget. And I don't even want to think about what that actual number is, because if I do, then I'll cry. but it's been expensive. It hasn't been cheap.
I mean, but that's kind of what you have to do, right? Like we are, there's not a lot of easy money out there. Not a lot of free money to just go out and build these things. But you were saying it's easy to start. It's affordable to start, yeah. But to grow, you really do have to get out there. And you felt the need to do that, even though the show wasn't yet making money.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have to, it's a weird thing because I think a lot of folks, when they think about the process of content creation, it's changed a bunch in between even, you know, the past, because I've been doing this for about 10 years now, a little bit over that with the blog and then the podcast and then all the other stuff that's kind of come along. And even before it was like hosting fees for the website and then trying to figure out good ways to get good equipment and all this other stuff. So like that initial cost, if you want good stuff, that's going to last you for a long time, then you have to chuck up a fair amount of money in the beginning to be able to get that stuff. And then you figure out what you kind of don't need and you sell stuff and you recoup some of that money through other ways. But the initial parts of getting a good foundation of equipment is very different from even the conversations that you see in the kind of content creation spaces from streamers now, where those folks are building out and getting DSLRs, they're getting mixers, they're getting multiple monitors for their computers. Their PCs themselves, if they're streaming in that fashion, cost a lot of money. So like the initial bet on your dream money that you put into a project or you put into a passion project, especially like this, like I think if you ask most folks, they overspend and outspend what they will probably make in the lifetime of their content easily. You know what I mean? That's the thing that you would definitely say for most folks. Like most folks aren't caking on the thing that they're making, and they're also not, you know, recouping the money that they've gotten. If they are, they're probably taking years to be able to get to that space. So yeah, there's definitely a huge investment within that part. And you need people who believe in you and believe in the process and believe in the project to be able to rock with you and do that stuff.
So in that process of spending money to like build up the show, spending money to make money, whatever, is part of that just like spending money to be there with a community that you are actively trying to build?
To a certain extent. Like, I think that it depends too. So like in the initial phases, before we started doing, having Patreon be a major part of the way that the show was funded, it was less of that because there wasn't that one-to-one connection, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's a little bit different because we don't make a ton of a dough off of Patreon and crowdfunding. You know, thank you to everyone who's chucked a dollar our way or chucked more than a dollar our way over the past couple of years specifically. But it is one of those things that you feel very, very connected to the content that you're providing on that platform or whichever platform that you're doing, while also trying to supplement that with other versions of income streams. So again, it's like merch. And then we understood that Twitch was going to be a thing that we needed to kind of invest in to kind of bring the show into a visual format. And that would hopefully bring in revenue towards the show. So again, it's like this interesting cycle of, if I get enough revenue, I can build out, you know, better content streams. I can get to events that I wasn't able to get to before for the hope that the content that I make that comes from that will generate another version of income, or at least get us bigger so that we can then possibly figure out good ways to make income. It's a weird cycle. And the hardest part of it has been Patreon. Patreon is a difficult beast to tame. for multiple reasons. One, because our community, I love our community. We're super, super smart and really funny and are really paying attention. We have a very woke community, which I love. The one thing that is a issue is that our community is also very quiet. So it's like, I can put out a blast and be like, hey, I want feedback from, you know, the community to tell me like how a thing is working or if this new project that we started is really hitting for folks. And we won't really get a lot of information back to inform us on what the next direction may be to kind of take the show. So it makes it difficult when you're like, hey, I'm actively getting money from folks who I don't know, who believe in the content that we're creating. But if I make a thing, does it actually resonate in any real way? Like, do you enjoy it? You know what I mean? Like, am I making stuff for the sake of making stuff just to get money? Or am I making stuff that actually is giving you value? And I think that that's one of the hardest things about Patreon is like, if you have a quiet community, you just don't know. You know what I mean? So you're continuously tinkering and trying to figure out good ways to make stuff so that you fulfill that need. And then you also feel guilty about the fact that like you're asking folks to help support a thing that you started. You know what I mean? Which is difficult. Like, we have a saying in our house that's like, whenever we get into trouble or we're feeling down about a thing or we start to whine and complain about stuff, we have a sticky note that's on all of our computers that says, you chose this. And that's a huge part. Like, it's a really big part of like trying to figure out, you know, you've decided to embark on this thing and you chose this. So when you ask people for money, you feel even more dedicated towards giving them something good and giving them something that is worth their time and their effort and their energy. Like, their ears are important and their eyes are important. And you feel really blessed to be able to get them when you do have them.
Do you have like, I've never used Patreon, so I don't like know what like the like analytics it provides or whatever are mm-hmm. like, but does it like give you an idea of like the kind of people that are giving you money are like, I guess would be like, there are people who like what you do and are just like busy heads down people working on stuff in their life. And they're like, right. Man, I want to support that. And I'll get to it. I'll watch it when I can, listen to it when I can, but I want him no matter what to keep doing what he's doing. That leads to the quiet audience that you were talking about. Is that the sense you get?
Yeah. Like, I feel like most of the folks who support us, if we were to never put out a piece of content, they would be okay with it. Mm-hmm. Again, I would love to know, like, if you're listening to this and you're part of our community who's doing that, please tell me, because it helps me to not feel like I'm losing my mind as well. Of course. But there's been interesting things that I've noticed, right? So like, if you, and this is stuff that a lot of people who are on Patreon won't say, right? Is the thing that you're most worried about is changing anything, right? Is like touching the monster at all. So when I say that, you have your tiers in which you kind of set up, you know, versions of access to content, or you say, hey, you know, at this level of support, you will get X thing, or you'll get a thing early, or you'll get a thing exclusively, and all those things, right? And to a certain extent, like, you do get some analytics about like who are the folks who are listening. You may see, you know, some stats about like how many folks hit that particular feed to check out that piece of content, but it's never as much as the kind of quote unquote air quotes normal content that you're currently doing. So you always are trying to figure out good ways to tinker, but the problem is when you tinker, sometimes that raises red flags for folks. It's like, what are you doing? And then they wind up pulling support or lessening support or whatever it right. may be. So it's a hard deal to try to figure out like where to lay sleeping dogs lying. And then also trying to figure out ways that you can make things better without making it feel like you're not being consistent. So that's a hard part. And then also being consistent is just difficult. Like, I work a 9-to-5 job. I probably spend, you know, another 20 to 30 hours on the show a week, just trying to figure out good ways to do stuff, plus streaming, plus reaching out to folks, plus all the stuff. And sometimes, and this has happened, you know, a couple of times where, you know, and then there's like vacation. You're like, I got to go dip out and let my mind do something that's not content. And you worry about just those like missed opportunities and not having space to be able to do that stuff, because it is a direct correlation towards you either losing support. Or the way the world works now is like, everyone's, you know, taking in content. Like, they're doing it. If they're not doing it with you, they're doing it with somebody else. So it is like this weird poke, right? That's like, yes. keep remembering me. Please remember that I'm doing stuff in that space. So, yeah.
It, Is a part of this that, like, a lot of the people that we rely on to come to Patreon to support shows like yours are just, you know, we're in election year, so if this is a term that we're hearing a lot right now, but, like, working class people, people that are just, like, they're doing their thing, they're working class people, and they see that you are also a working class person out there, you know, hustling and trying to make something work, trying to make something cool, and they want to support that. And we're kind of in this, like, this weird feedback loop where we try to, like, support each other, even though there's not enough to, like, go around for everybody. Do you feel like, is there, like, an alternative to this? Is there anything that we could be doing that could be bringing in more money into the space for creators?
It's interesting, 'cause I'm supposed to be towards GDC. I'm supposed to be moderating a chat from a company that's kind of trying to knock on those doors and try to help not demonetize, but kind of, take the reins away from crowdfunding being like the main way that people are doing that work. Mm-hmm. And it's just hard because I've heard it from folks, especially like on Twitch chat, right? When they're like, I'm so sorry, I had to not subscribe this month, or I had to pull my subscription. And people feel genuinely bad about, you know, not putting in that support if they've been doing it for a while and they have to pull it. Right. And I think that that's a part of the conversation, which is like, one, any support is support. You know, I kind of look at it in the same way of kind of reaching back to that you chose this thing. Like, I am super appreciative of anyone who has decided to throw money towards us, because I am a stranger on the internet. Like, you, of course, you know me because of the stuff that I do, and you get a sense of who I am because of the content that I've been providing for the past 6 years, or giving out for the past 6 years. But at the end of the day, you're giving me money because you care. You care about the message. You care about maybe me. You care about the ideas and the ethos of what Spawn on Me is trying to do. And you care about that kind of pushing society forward. And I'm super appreciative of that part. But I also am just like, if you don't have it, that's totally fine. Like, there's this guilt by donation feeling that goes along with creating content now, because everybody named Mama's making content. Yeah. Like, that's real too. Like, we live in a space now where probably every third person that you meet is making a thing.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's a part of the ecosystem too, where everyone is making a thing. And if you want people to figure out good ways to you know, give value to that thing or be able to support it with money, the best route that you can do is crowdfunding right now. There aren't a lot of other avenues. For the folks who are both giving money towards those creators and the folks who are looking to monetize what they've made, there just aren't a lot of options right now to doing that stuff, because, and this is the thing I was harping on a little bit earlier in the month at DICE, at the DICE Summit, was I kind of went to people and was like, hey, I would love to not crowdfund. I would love to find sponsors for this work, because then you get a great sense of, you know, what's my value in this space towards the work that I'm doing that doesn't feel like I'm impeding other people from doing things with their money that they need to do, you know?
Right.
It's like, this is discretionary funds that you have, and I'm lucky enough that I'm one of the people that you're sharing that money with every month or every time that you donate a thing. So it adds a layer of weight to that, which also changes the way that you make content, and then also changes the way you think about the content that you make. So it's a weird double-edged sword where everyone is reacting to that give and take. And sometimes I think that give and take isn't necessarily good in the way that it informs the producer of content about what they need to make. Because if you think about it right now, there are people who are making stuff that they don't need to be making, just for the sake of knowing that their money is coming in and it's dependent upon that.
Right.
So it's like, you can tell in a lot of ways, like, you can tell when content's been put out in the world that you were like, yeah, you know that thing was a necessary thing to keep the lights on.
Well, I mean, we see this on YouTube, right? Like, YouTube is all working backwards from the algorithm of, like, what works, what actually gets us the money, what gets us the views, which gets us the money.
Yeah.
And that's anger and rage and all this and reactionary stuff. And we see that, right?
Yeah. And like, even to a certain extent, just like, one of the things I always laugh about is when I go onto YouTube and I see these crappy ass thumbnails with everyone making these dumb faces that no one makes in real life. But they know that the algorithm loves it. They know that the kids love it. They know that that it feeds into the way that that video will make money.
Right. It's so like base, right? Because it's like, you know, it's like the human mind loves faces. And if a face looks slightly off, like we're like, well, what's going on here? We got to see what's going on there. Because we're just animals. Like we just got to see what that face is all about. It gives me the skeeves, and I understand it. And again, it's just all part of this hustle where we are just trying to make all of this work. Right.
Right. Yep. Yeah. It's weird. It's super weird.
So speaking of that, like working backwards from the community, there is good ways of doing that, right? Where you spoke earlier, you said you have a very woke community. And do you ever feel like, yes, sure, I'm making this content for you, but in a lot of ways, like by making content for this audience, it's making me a better person, I'm learning stuff. Do you ever feel that way?
I honestly kind of think of it in this way, which is I make content for me. Like I make content that I would want to watch or listen to or partake in. And I hope that it resonates with other people. Cause honestly, I won't say I'm out of touch in the way that most of the, not only my community, but the way that the internet works is going there. I'm not that old yet where I'm just like, oh, I don't know how the TikTok works. Like I know how it works. I don't like it. I know how it works. I just don't like it.
You're an old man, Kyle.
Yeah, I'm an old man. I take it. I'll take those gray hairs and go on TikTok. I'm not twerking for nobody. No, I'm just playing. It depends on how much. But it is one of those things where I think about the community a lot because I'm hoping, again, that the stories and the guests that I bring onto the show and the angles for the stories that I try to hit, I feel more dedicated towards giving them something smart that they can take home and either talk about, write about, or share with somebody else, as opposed to making something that I know can make money off the bat. Like, I think if you would ask most folks out here who are doing work that is kind of in the, again, air quotes, like woke sense of the conversation, especially in video games where we know journalists don't make any money. We know that, you know, magazines and most print stuff is kind of gone the way of the dodo. Where we see that, you know, telling a good story doesn't always get good clicks and good viewability and good visibility. We know that you can do a long form article and that will do half the views as a listicle. Like we know that that stuff is already in that space. So like when you see me starting to do some of that stuff, you know, I've sold out. Like you'll know, like I'll make it plain and clear that I'm selling myself out. And I think that that's a part of the equation, right? Is like, I knew going into this that it wasn't going to make a lot of money. Like I knew going into it that we weren't going to be super huge. I still want us to be super huge and want us to make a bunch of money, but I know that the content isn't like the industry isn't ready for the content that we make. And that's a hard thing to understand going in, right? But you think about that and you think about the folks who do get it, they get it. And they understand it and they rep it and they share it out. So yeah, it's a weird double-edged sword again, like where you kind of know that those things are connected, but you know, you just hope the community understands it and resonates with them.
So going forward, you have a Patreon now that is at least bringing in some money. You're looking for other ways of potentially making money down the line. But like if the money went away, yep, would you keep doing it?
Yeah, of course. Like I in my head, there is a stopping point, right? Like there is a diminishing return part. And that's less about the ability to do a good job. I think we do some of the best work on the internet. Like I think, again, we do shows that as a one person outlet now, that there are huge outlets that don't hit the angles that we hit and get some of the folks that we get on our show. Does that reflect itself in our download numbers? No. Does that reflect itself in the amount of money that we get every week? I mean, every month? No. Like, I know a bunch of different folks on Patreon who do work that is not as important and not as good, and they're caking right now. So it's like, the thing that keeps me in it is the ability to tell a good story. I'm from the old school part of the press. I grew up on, you know, old one-up stuff and old, you know, John Davidson old stuff and Garnet Lee old stuff. Like I grew up on that stuff where people were looking for good angles to make smart work. Like, you know, Sessler is, you know, my dude. So it's like seeing those things kind of be in the space and understanding that you have a really smart, well done, well produced piece of content that is being touched by folks that don't get talked to. I feel like that's a part of the push, right? Like what I really want is to see the communities that we've built up and the folks that we are kind of built the show for to finally get their day in the sun. Like when I see a company spend actual money and market to Black and brown folks in a real way, that's not just in February, I'll know what my job was done. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, those are the things that push me, like the ability to see people who I know make moves and, you know, put people on to do stuff while still having my own goals to be able to kind of figure out good ways that I can get myself in a good position. Like those are things that actually push me. Like the money is a part of the upkeep of what this does. Like the money makes it easier for me to go and continue that cycle of doing stuff. It also keeps me out of the doghouse with my wife. But it also, like, again, it's like every dollar that comes into one of the various streams of revenue or income streams that we have, all that stuff goes directly back into the show. It gets me on a plane. Like I'm going to GDC if GDC continues to be a thing this year.
We'll see. They said, I just got a message from them, said they're going to do it. They're going
to. Yeah. So like, you know, GDC continues to be a thing this year. Like I'm going to spend $1,000 just to get to GDC and have lodging for, you know, for 4 or 5 days and be able to eat and all that stuff. That's $1,000 that came out of all the Patreon money and some of the Adams family money. Right. So, and that's again, in an effort to make sure that we're kind of continuing to push forward. So yeah, I'd still do it. It may not be forever. I don't know if I'm going to pull like a 15-year thing like my boys over at Gamertag Radio did, but I know that the horizon is still there for us to be able to get to a space where we can be bigger and have our platform be larger. And I just don't feel like we've gotten there yet, so I'm still pushing.
Last thing, and this might be too personal. You don't have to answer if you don't want to. Spoke early about your wife supporting like you as you pursued this over years. That's something that like I kind of completely, that's the same thing here. So I just like, what was that like? Like, what were those conversations like? Like when it did come to like you going to shows when this thing wasn't making money, what was that like?
There was a moment I remember specifically about, we had gone, cause my wife does the budget. Math is my nemesis. So you do not want me doing, the budget. And she was like, Ka, yo, this is expensive, fam. And I was like, I know, I'm sorry, don't beat me. And we kind of looked at it and we said, you know, we have to cap it at a certain point. You can't just use all the money that we have to build out stuff. We're doing better now than we were, you know, when that conversation happened. And it's still, again, like you can't eat, you know, we're not going to be doing it up at GDC or the next thing. There will be no $80 steaks on my plate. Mm-hmm. But there was a moment when I came home and I got this letter from this listener in Germany who we had done a show and I was talking about De La Soul and De La Soul and how much they mean to me and how much they're my favorite hip hop artists and all this stuff. And within that conversation about De La Soul, we talked about the ability for Black characters and Blackness to be shared across the world via music and how video games have the same ability to do some of that work by, you know, putting people in positions where you can visibly see them and doing that work. And the gentleman who wrote to me had never made that connection before. And he handwritten letter, like sent to me in the mail, sent me this thing back. And I came home. I was like feeling down because the numbers were low. We were still starting out. And I was like, baby, I don't know. This thing is like not doing what it needs to do. And I was like, but look at this letter I got. And she read it and she was like, oh, crap, I understand. And that was the moment when she was like, oh, this is doing good in the world. And that was the thing for her. She was, you know, former social worker. And one of the things that she always kind of wanted to do with the work that she had been doing was try to put out good energy into the world and try to make the world better and whatever it may be. And how do you do that in a real way when we see so many things go in bad ways? And she was like, that thing that you do at the kitchen table every week with your two friends is doing that work. And that's when she flipped the switch. She was like, okay, like you don't have an unlimited budget. We'll figure out a good way to be able to do this. And you're going to have to figure out a way to help pay for some of this stuff. But I rock with you. I understand why you're doing this thing and why you put so many hours into it and why you worry about it so much and why you fuss about it when it's not great and why you take these trips to dip out of the state to go do all this stuff. Because she wasn't really big on the video game stuff either. So, yeah, it was a very distinct moment where those things kind of clicked for her. And then it gave me the ability to also say like, wow, so like you understand this now and like see why this is not just a hobby. This gave me a lot of purpose, when I didn't feel like I had a lot. So, yeah, it was very, very cool to see her, that kind of light bulb go off in her head because there was some progress there. And also it was really good to be able to see like the ability for the work to touch someone in a real way. And we get those things now and again, you know, still like we'll get messages and emails and DMs about like, hey, that episode really touched me, or you know, this thing that you said was really poignant or whatever. And that's the reason why I keep pushing. That's the reason why I keep doing this stuff and hoping that it will all pay off at some point in the end.
Right. Yep. Yeah. I mean, it's like my situation echoed that a little bit, and it just like I sometimes feel almost guilty how lucky I was that I was able to keep pushing through when this whole thing wasn't making money. She never made me feel guilty or make me feel bad. And it's like a lot of people don't have that like immediate support right in their life to give them the confidence that they could just keep pursuing this, even though by all measures it is failing. And then you get to a point where suddenly like things start to show some results, and it's like, wow, this is great. It never would have happened if I didn't have that support. I'm so lucky. Did you ever feel that?
Oh, I tell her all the time. Like it is a thing that she, like, you know, peek behind the curtain is like the show does okay in terms of numbers. It's not doing what it should be doing, right? In terms of what I believe the value of what our show brings to the gaming industry. When I share that information with her, when she sees I'm frustrated and she sees that I'm not really excited or happy or I'm down, almost down today because it was random show stuff. She looks at me and she's like, you know, you're doing something good. Like you could be spending your energy doing other stuff. And this is the thing that you're doing because you love it. You feel like you're learning stuff. You're good at it. And you get to do some of the work that, again, like helps build a better world in some form or fashion. You offset some of that stuff by, you know, sometimes people give you free stuff. Like that's a part of Enthusiast Press at this point. We're part of it, the influencer culture. Sometimes you get free stuff and that free stuff offsets some of the costs that you would have spent to, you know, buy a thing that you would have wound up purchasing out of family money or Patreon money or crowdfunded money. And that helps too. You know what I mean? Like people talk this whole deal about the press is in the pocket of blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, we're not. And it depends on what version of press you're in. And it also depends on the way that the culture works. The culture is very different. People will complain about people who write for IGN or GameSpot, but they won't complain about their favorite YouTuber or Twitch star. So it's like, you know, the public has to learn their side of the fence and which one they want to actually be on and be honest about it. And the folks who are doing the work can still do unbiased work while possibly being, you know, given a thing or receiving a thing and talking about it from a truthful and honest perspective. Like you can tell when people are shilling for a thing, you can tell when people are being honest. Like that's just human nature. We all have done it or at this point and understand it. Right. So like being honest about your intentions and all that stuff is just the thing that you should be doing anyway. And it informs your audience about, you know, if you're above board or not. So yeah, it's all those things in terms of making money for stuff and offsetting costs and growing. So yeah, it's all part of the ecosystem.
Well, Cleef, thank you so much for taking your time to join me on this. I really do appreciate it. It was a, you know, fascinating conversation. I like to always kind of end this by saying, hey, did this conversation bring up anything else that you want to mention before we end the podcast, or should we just get the hell out of here?
No, I got to thank you and for having me. And it's always fun when we get a chance to hang out and chat. Second, I again want to thank anyone who listens to this, who may be a supporter of what I do in any of the spaces that I do. You send out a tweet, you send me a DM, you share the work that I do, you know, you support us financially. That all of that matters, and it all means a lot to me personally. It means a lot to my family. Like, it is a thing that has given me a lot of respect for not only the creators out here, but given me a lot of respect for the consumers of content. And it's been one of the best things I've ever been able to do. And that's all because of the folks who are listening right now. So massive love out to all of you and massive love to you, Jeff.
Thanks, man. Again, wonderful conversation. Thank you to everybody out there for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode. I'm recording a bunch up front, so I have no idea what order I'm going to release them in, but show back up. We'll have more interesting conversations about how games make money. Until then, have a good one, have a good week, and goodbye, everybody.